Welcome, patrons, to our review of Die Hard 4.0.
Otherwise known as Live Free or Die Hard.
I'm doing America a favor. Is the country willing to pay for it?
FAA just issued a critical alert. The entire network went down.
Transportation systems crashing and they just hit the entire financial sector.
You have no idea who you're dealing with.
I'll take it from here.
So, Die Hard 4.0, Live Free or Die Hard, whichever one you want to say, is released in 2007, starring Bruce Willis, Timothy Olyphant, Justin Long, Maggie Q, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Who I did not realise was in this film. Also, didn't realise Timothy Olyphant was in it.
You've seen this before, haven't you? Like,
I have. I remember nothing. Like, I don't even remember what I thought of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That long ago.
I mean, it's not a super old movie. Like, I know it's, 11 years old now, so yeah, I guess it would have been a while ago.
Well, this was directed by
Les Wiseman.
All right, I'll take your word for it there.
He's directed four movies.
The Underworld movies, was that
yeah,
right?
He's married to Kate Beckinsale.
Ah, okay. Good on you, mate.
Good on him indeed.
Yes. So this film had a budget of $110 million, and it ended up grossing $134 million in America, was the 17th highest for the year, and got a worldwide gross of $383 million, which was 11th for the year.
Pretty successful.
Yeah. No wonder they made a fifth one.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
So originally, the story was supposed to involve McClane's son, Jack. He was supposed to be the computer hacker that John had to take to the FBI.
Yeah, and I saw that Justin Timberlake was in talks for the role.
Justin Timberlake around the 2007, yeah, he would have been...
Alpha Dog, Social Networking.
Yeah, not a Social Networking yet.
That was, Black Snake Moaning.
That's probably better, yeah.
Yeah.
Fresh out of his singing, he was moving into the acting part there. So, yeah, I see why they would have considered him. I actually saw that Scott Speedman was Les Wise... Are you sure it's Les? That's straight off the trivia. It says Len.
Have a look. I don't know why you need to doubt me, though.
So, after a quick little look here, it's actually...
It's Len Hendo. Len.
That's what I said, dickhead.
No, I said Len. You were saying Les.
I think we can... We've got audio proof there.
Man, he is a dapper-looking fellow, isn't he?
No wonder he married Kate Beckinsale.
No wonder she married him.
Mmm.
Mmm. Calm down, Hendo.
So, yeah, Len Wiseman's first choice was actually Scott Speedman. Do you know who Scott Speedman is? You've seen him in something very recent.
Was it Vampire's Kiss?
No, he plays Barry Baz Blackwell in Animal Kingdom, the TV show. You said you watched it all.
I have watched it all recently. I'm going to check.
He's in all the Underworld films as well, so that's why he was considering him. Actually, while you look up his face.
Oh, him.
There you go.
Yeah, he's one of the main characters. He's great.
Yeah. He was the first choice for Matt Farrell.
Really?
Yeah. Whereas Bruce Willis
wanted... He's a bit older than Justin Long.
Well, how about this? Bruce Willis wanted Ben Affleck for that role to get back that chemistry from Armageddon.
Man, I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
Like, I like Ben Affleck, but he would not have fit this.
Another dapper-looking bloke. And this film has an average of 7.1 over 365,000 ratings.
Which is the same as Die Hard 2.
Which is funny you say that because I'm pretty sure my rating for this is the same as the second one.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, no, I think this is worse than Die Hard 2.
All right, so out of the four, this is your least favourite so far?
So far, yeah. And the reason why is because this is just not a Die Hard film. Die Hard 2 is a Die Hard film, and the problem with that is it's too much of a Die Hard film. This one...
No. The problem with Die Hard 2 is not that it's too much Die Hard.
It's too much of the first one, just not as good.
There's a lot wrong with number two.
That's the big problem with it. Okay, we're done. We've spoken about Die Hard 2. The problem with this one is it's hardly a Die Hard film. It's not violent in the slightest. There's no, like, McClane is just not McClane anymore. He is this superhero in this film. He does shit in this film that you would just go, bullshit. Like, first Die Hard, he is the one that we relate to. He is the everyman. This one here, he's fucking jumping off jet fighter jets and going through explosions and jumping out of cars and getting up and dusting himself off. It's gotten too ridiculous.
I disagree.
Really?
I do, actually.
Do you like this film?
I really like this film.
Wow!
I got into this film. I'm not going to lie. I was pleasantly surprised when I was watching it, and we'll talk about it as we go, but I think it is a different John McClane. He's much older, and he's obviously finally been beaten down by life, And I could understand that. I could see that as a natural progression of his character. Now, I'm not going to defend that he is somewhat superhero-ish in this film. And this film's not 5 stars. It's not a perfect film. But I didn't have as big of an issue with it as you did. I appreciated the action elements to it more than any of the diehards since the first one.
This one just felt super CG-ish. I was sitting there watching going, ugh, all right, ugh. Again, just eye-rolling the whole time.
Because of how bad the graphics were?
Yeah.
Like in, say, number 3, when the dam was filling up and that was like a cartoon?
That was terrible,
or like
yes.
Number 2, where he gets ejected from the the plane. And
you're talking like I like Die Hard 2.
Well, you're saying this is the worst of all of them. I'm just saying
they
all have, well, except for the first one, they all have elements of bad CG.
Yeah, Die Hard with a Vengeance has that one scene where they're going through the dam and he flies out the top. Everything else there, that action is good and practical. Die Hard 2, I don't like that film.
You like it more than this? I can't believe you like Die Hard 2 more than this.
Because it's so much more like a Die Hard film. The action in it is much more brutal and violent. It's much more...
Well, you just want more blood and you'd be satisfied.
I like McClane in that film as well. Okay, wait. I will. Okay. There is a very small difference between 2 and 4 here. I do not like either of them. There is a half-star difference. I find I enjoyed 2 more. Maybe for nostalgic sake as well, because I've seen that so many times.
I have no nostalgia for number 2 whatsoever.
Okay, I do with that one. This is probably the third time I've seen this, and the other 2 times I didn't like it, especially on this time when I was just watching it. Especially coming after just watching 1 and 2 and 3, to watching this...
This was a breath of fresh air.
I thought this was what I initially thought. Like, this is... nothing like the other ones, and I don't like it because of that.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on number 5 now. Like, that's going to be so... because I hate the 5th one.
Okay.
And I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about that one.
Good. I'm curious. Because you haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Okay, thank you, patrons. No, all right, let's get into it. I feel like you've got a bit more to say about this film than me.
We get an actually great 20th Century Fox intro. Did you like this? The way it, like, starts flickering and then all the lights start turning off on the flashlights? Or the... are they flashlights? Spotlights. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, symbolising the power down that's going to be happening later on in the film.
Yeah.
It was okay.
I liked it. Very dramatic.
Dramatic.
It was
a nice way of doing it. I thought dramatic.
Oh, I thought it was a good little play on it. We're going to have fun today. I feel like you're just going to try and tear down every positive thing I say about it. So we get a lot of hacking early. There's a lot of hacking. A
lot of hacking in this film.
A lot of hacking.
A lot of new age.
Oh, yeah.
Look at how old McClane is and how he doesn't go into the real world of computers and technology.
Yeah.
Gets old quickly.
Well, 12 years.
The shtick of him not knowing how to use a mobile phone or a computer got old quickly.
Yeah, I didn't find that at all. So we get basically this setup where you got all these different hackers doing something for, was it Maggie Q?
And to a different extent, Thomas Gabriel.
Hmm.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yes.
Deadwood.
Girl Next Door.
Is that your second thing you think of?
Yeah, for sure. It was also Hitman.
Justified?
Yeah, I've never seen Justified.
Neither have I. I heard it's really good.
Yeah, me too.
Like, him and Walton Goggins in it, apparently. Like, they're top notch, and I just never got to it.
Nah, me neither.
Yeah, but the hackers, these guys, they're obviously doing some sort of hacking for them, and once they've done their hacking, they start to kill them by having these C4s rigged to their computers.
From the delete button.
Yes.
Which is good. It's a good setup here. Like, I didn't know that this character wasn't going to be a main character in this film. And then he presses delete and I was like, oh, fuck, he's dead. All right.
Does it not feel like the same as Die Hard 3 at the start? Boom, explosion, we're going. We're in it. Bit of a rehash there.
I felt like Die Hard 3 did it better because it was setting up this... it was just like an everyday, you know, sort of city.
Yeah, you felt like it was just establishing.
It was just
where
like, yeah, like you had no idea anything sinister was happening yet. Whereas in this one, you're watching it and like they're obviously doing something illegal.
Yeah, it's something a bit sus. They're like,
And it's nighttime as well. So, you know, whereas the other ones
explosions
almost
usually
like,
happen at nighttime.
The other one's like birds chirping, you know, happy days and then bang. You know, you have that fun music. You don't have that in this one. This one doesn't have the bait and switch of it's all peaceful and then it's not.
Yeah, this is all super dark and super serious.
Yeah, exactly. So we get this next scene. We've got Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Lucy Gennaro.
Again, going back and using I'm Gennaro, not McClane. I think we've seen this before, haven't we?
Yeah, it was in number 1.
Yes, of course it was.
It was.
What is McClane doing this?
Following around his, what, estranged daughter?
Yeah. He's got nothing better to do.
They don't have a good relationship.
No.
So, yeah. It's weird. was pretty funny where she says, I'm going to bed alone. He's like, damn right you're going to bed alone. I thought that was funny.
I think he needs to calm down and let her live her life.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see when our daughter's at. How old is she? 20?
She's about that, isn't she? I tell you what, I will not be doing that to my daughters when they're 20. I'll not be following them around and spying on them in parked cars. You say that now.
Who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
But he's actually... Is he on duty here, or is it just like he gets a call to do it?
Oh, I don't think he's on duty.
But we get that instant... McClane doesn't know about the technology because they call him like, what are you doing? He goes, how do you know I'm here? It's like, we low-jacked your car. We know where you are at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, damn technology.
Yep, that's what happens. Honestly, at this point, I think it's a pretty good start. And I kept waiting for this movie to get really, really bad, which is what you have been telling me it's going to be.
Hang on. I did not tell you this was bad. I've told you the fifth one is bad. I don't think I've said anything about the fourth one to you.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I went in with pretty low expectations, though, which obviously helped the cause. We do get the storyline of McClane going to go and pick up this hacker. And he's referred to as a senior detective here. How the hell has the John McClane from Number 3 been promoted through the ranks to become a senior detective?
The drunk, you know, basically almost lost his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he seems to piss off every authority figure he meets.
Yeah.
It's just,
no one's ever going to be looking at that guy and going, hire that man for
like, I feel like you got to play ball to move up through.
He's not the ball playing kind of person, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, he's not. All right, we get our intro to Justin Long. He does look like a hacker, you know.
What do you think about him in this movie?
I didn't like him.
He's not good.
No, but I don't like him in anything.
Yeah, he just plays that awkward kind of guy. He tries to be funny. He's not. Yeah. He drags the film down for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think he's a big star or anything.
I think there was at a point where he was kind of big, like maybe...
What's his biggest film?
This, Tusk, being with Drew Barrymore. Was he with Drew Barrymore for a bit? He's with Amanda Seyfried now, isn't he?
How do you know that?
Yeah, I think this Justin Long is a fad. I think he's gone out of the spotlight now.
He's gone, you reckon?
Well, can't remember him being in much since Tusk, and that was, what, 4 years ago?
Just looking at his IMDb page, he's in a lot of...
Straight to DVD?
Yes.
Romantic comedies?
A lot of TV shows for like one episode, two episodes.
Ooh.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Signs of someone who's really missed his mark.
Yeah, he's honestly gone downhill. Ooh, good. So he should. He's not very good.
I feel like with this character, they're trying to bring back the
youth,
like the fun chemistry of him and of McClane and Zeus. They want to get this back and forth banter between the two blokes along their adventure here. And it's not the same because McClane is... This is a overbearing person to this timid shrew when is...
But that's why it would work better.
That's why it didn't work for me.
Like, I don't like Justin Long in this film, but I'm glad he's there. I'm glad that he has this character. I was thinking about it when I was watching it, that because Number 3 went in another direction, because 1 and 2, McClane's by himself, whereas in Number 3, he's got this partner the whole time. And I was thinking about it now, if you had this grizzled McClane by himself, it would be a dreary fucking film. You do need someone with a bit more lightheartedness to bounce off him. You do.
I still think it didn't work. I just think that the chemistry and the comedic parts of this film, they didn't go with me.
Okay.
And you say you can't have this grisly Bruce Willis, John McClane by himself, and that's fine. But even in the fifth one, they have the partnership, but it's not a comedy. It's not really a comedic partnership. It's his son.
Yeah, and this one you're saying is better than the fifth one.
Yeah.
So you're agreeing with me. Like, I think that this comedic does help.
No, we'll talk about that in the fifth one. I'm saying that the chemistry in the fifth one is even worse here because of shit Jai Courtney.
Yeah, so this one's better than the fifth one, the chemistry.
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
Oh, good. So, good.
That's not saying much, though.
You like the chemistry.
No, I don't.
I did appreciate the McClane picking up the Spawn figure in his apartment.
Yeah, I didn't even say that.
Really?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, I like figures. I had Spawn.
Oh, so it's a personal thing for you because you like figures.
Yeah, I had Spawn figures when I was a kid.
Oh, I thought you were saying like it's a tie-in to the Spawn where Bruce Willis was in or some shit.
No. There's no tie-in or callback.
It's just you and your geekiness.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Oh, I still collect toys.
You do. Yes, you do.
Hot toys for the win. So we do get our first like McClane action scene here. I did like the part where he throws the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, that was
start shooting it and the guy explodes through the glass. I thought that was pretty good.
What did you think though about the lack of violence? The watered down PG-13 style violence.
Honestly, I did not notice it.
I noticed it.
Why is this such a big thing for you? You got to have more red liquid around
because
there.
Because there's this stuff, like action films, you shoot someone, they're going to bleed. Someone has to bleed when you shoot them. Later on, the guy goes through the meat grinder or whatever, like through the grinder when he falls. He just falls. It's like he fell through it. Yeah. He should have got churned up.
Yeah.
And you talk about not being believable already. Seeing this stuff, it's like, I don't buy into it. It's clearly made for a younger audience.
Yeah, see, I did not mind it.
McClane comes in. He should be swearing his head off at everyone. He's had enough of this world.
Does he not swear in this movie?
No. They even cut out the...
Is there two cuts of this
film? There is an unrated version.
Maybe I'll watch the unrated version, because I feel like he was swearing in this film.
If you watch the unrated version, he would have said, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, like, right at, when he shoots his gun. The rated version goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfoom.
No, I saw that one. Yeah, he didn't say fucker.
He doesn't swear in it. He might have said one fuck throughout it. Because of PG-13, I think you can get away with one fuck, maybe.
Yep.
But other than that, you talk about grizzly old veteran McClane who's had enough of the world. He should be swearing a lot more than what he's done in the last three films.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I just didn't have a problem with it.
I did.
I know. It's funny because I had a massive problem with it in Venom this year. It really took me out of it.
I really was just about to compare it to Venom, but I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to be like comparing it to a movie I haven't seen.
Yeah. Oh, it's much more noticeable when you have a monster biting off heads.
Yes, of course.
And there's no blood. But I didn't mind it here. I had a lot of fun with it. Like, even he punches a guy through a wall at one point. I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like it. Like, stuff like that, it made me, like, I enjoyed this scene.
This scene was okay. Like, I didn't mind it.
I did wonder, though, how much ammo would McClane carry to go and pick up one random hacker? Because he fires a lot here.
Yes.
So, as they're leaving this apartment, they get in the car, and this guy sort of, like, jumps on their car. He's hanging off the side,
This weird ninja bloke.
Is he a ninja?
He's very
Is this the same guy that goes through the meat grinder at the end? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize it was the same guy.
The bomb's gone off as well because, a Terminator doll fell on the delete button?
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. But yeah, when he gets slammed into the dumpster, I thought that looked pretty good. There's people jumping between buildings and stuff. It all looked pretty decent for me, to be honest. And this is where we get our introduction to Thomas Gabriel. What'd you make of him as a villain here?
He seemed like one of those villains that sits behind the screen. He's not intimidating at all. He's like, look what I can do. Hit a button. Oh, I'm going to get you. Hit a button. He doesn't seem physically intimidating at all. He's nothing like your Hans Gruber or even your Colonel Stewart, who's out there, who could throw a punch, could do some nude martial arts.
So you prefer Stewart as a main villain to Gabriel?
Yep, I think he's more intimidating. I think he can throw down. I think he can...
Well, yes, no one's saying that Gabriel's a better fighter. I'm just saying, which do you think's a better villain?
Colonel Stewart.
Wow.
I think Gabriel here just puts his mean face on and tells people what to do, whatever.
Well, I don't mind Gabriel here. I think Timothy Olyphant has a very large amount of natural charisma, and I think that helps his character a lot. But I will say, I actually didn't think he was great in this. I thought he could have brought more to the character because I know he has more of a range than this.
I thought he could have been a lot more menacing, to be honest, than just, you know, have a frowny face.
He felt a bit robotic at points.
Yep.
Did not show a lot of emotion.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Personally, I think all the villains in this aren't that good, intimidating, anything like that. They're all very generic and throwaway. Even Maggie Q.
Oh, she was never going to be good.
But who are the other ones then? You got gymnast swinging around guy and random other people. I have no idea what their names are.
No, I would have just gone with Gabriel and that's it.
Yep.
Like, and yeah, Maggie Q's there, but I don't think anything of her.
She's a weird one for me because I remember her from, holy shit, I forgot the name of the show. It's that throwaway. There was a show that she was on, Nikita.
Never saw it.
Yeah, she was the big star of that. She was like some femme fatale assassin, went on for a bunch of seasons.
Yeah.
I think she's been in like a couple other things as well, but this is probably her biggest role, honestly. Okay. Movie-wise.
Yep. Fair enough.
So McClane is still taking Farrell to the FBI here the next morning. He's been driving all night. And then all the traffic...
I've been driving all night, man. Went on the wheels.
Righto. Okay. Anyway, the traffic lights just start fucking up. Did you expect when they're sitting in the car talking about how the news is taking over, like the media is manipulating you, that the truck was going to smash into...
Oh, yeah.
You could clearly see
it's
that was...
It's the camera angle.
Yep.
This camera angle where you're sort of behind the guy so that you can see out their window and a bit to the left. As soon as I saw that angle, I was like...
You knew what was happening.
Something is going to smash into him right now.
Yeah, it's so predictable.
And they do it a lot in a lot of different films. And not just, average films. There's a lot of good films that it happens in as well.
There is an easy way to fix this where don't show that angle and just have the crash happen. Have the car swing around, a big smash swing around, scare the shit out of you, and then see the truck driving past.
Or do what they did in No Country for Old Men, where you sort of have that angle, but it comes from behind the camera.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
You think, oh, it's going to happen? You really don't see it coming, yeah.
Have he started his revenge here on America, just changing all the traffic lights, creating mass pandemonium.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought, okay, so is this it? Like,
this is it.
Well, this
aha,
is,
gotcha. Is,
I can control the traffic lights. I am a supervillain. What do you make of this video of the presidents all cut together? Apparently, it took someone over 4 months to do this.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I was trying to... It was harder to follow along what they were saying.
It was hard to follow.
Yeah.
It was.
Because of the different cuts and tones, I'm like, I had to go back and think what the whole sentence was after they finished.
Yeah. I tuned out about halfway through.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand what was going on.
That guy's hard work. So no one even understood what it was about.
Yeah, exactly.
But he starts putting, like, anthrax threats to certain buildings, like the FBI and to this Woodlawn place that they end up at later on to clear out the buildings because they need it.
Yep.
I mean, that's the next part.
Well, anthrax was a big thing.
Yeah, back in 2007, that was around that time that it was, yeah.
People were posting anthrax, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
That was the thing.
Yeah, that was the big threat of the decade.
Yeah. Ooh, probably terrorism probably beats anthrax.
Yes. Yep. Yes. But he's also putting in stuff like he's dropping Wall Street. He's putting all the stocks down. Everyone's freaking out, losing all their money.
Yep.
Just basically creating
pandemonium.
A riot. Yeah.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, like I said that before.
You said pandemonium before?
I did say pandemonium before.
Is that why I said it? See, yes. It just sort of got implanted in my brain.
That's what I do.
Cool word. I'll use that later.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, that's good. I'll cut when you said it.
Then that will make no sense what you said.
Yeah. No, so we do get Farrell talking about the fire sale, where they attack the transportation, the financials, as you're saying, with the Wall Street, and finally leading into the utilities, so gas, electricity, water, etc.
So you know where that's gonna, you know where the plot is gonna be going from here.
Which is good. I was glad that it was going somewhere because I feel like transportation was a bit dull.
Yeah, they need to stop that real quick.
Yeah. But now we're introduced to Agent Johnson, and I can see already that you didn't like this, but I did like McClane's reaction to this. He does this small little like double take and keeps going. It's like, yeah, it's small, but it's there.
Did McClane have any interaction with Johnson & Johnson?
Surely he's seen Die Hard by now.
It's his favourite film.
It has to be.
I don't think he had any interaction with them in the film. So how would he acknowledge them?
Maybe he did his research afterwards, you know?
I think it is a massive stretch.
I'm sure him and Deputy Police Chief Dwayne Robinson had a few beers later on and they were shooting the shit. Yep. Swapping notes. And he was like, mate.
What happened?
You thought I was bad.
Yeah, these Johnson & Johnson
Johnson
dickens.
Johnson got here.
Made me look like a superstar.
Yeah. That was good. And we get another wink to a Bruce Willis film here.
God.
Someone says, I had no idea I'd be an accessory to Armageddon. It's like, oh, come on.
Just stop it. They get to this massive street shootout when they find out that they're rerouting them to an area where they can pin them down.
Yep.
I mean, it's nothing special for me. It's just generic shoot 'em ups.
I must say the green screen here was pretty bad.
Just this whole thing. I didn't mind the tactic that he uses to get him into the tunnel and send the traffic both ways, shut off the lights and create...
Oh, you didn't like this sequence?
No, I didn't mind that. That tactic that he did. But the thing prior where the helicopter's shooting at him, taking out the agents and all that, it's not good. You're talking about CGI? Yes. When the crash actually happens in the tunnel with all the cars and that, it looks terrible. I didn't mind his idea of doing it.
Okay. I thought before they got into the tunnel, it was a bit ho-hum. And I thought, how the hell is this chopper not just destroying
Bruce Willis's car? Simple, generic action. All the other agents
but,
get
I mean,
killed.
You could say this for most action films where the good guy always survives and the red shirts always get killed.
Yeah, and most of those action films are very throwaway.
This is pretty common. It's not just throwaway action films. It's most action films will dispose of people who aren't named.
Yes, but there'll be points where the hero isn't right next to him and not getting taken out as well.
Yeah. Either way, I did really like this tunnel scene though.
Did you like the CGI cars and all that nonsense?
I mean, the special effects are definitely lacking here. It is an 11-year-old film. CGI was pretty bad, though.
It was terrible.
It was a great shot, though, where he's made traffic go towards each other. Bruce Willis is in the middle, and the lights all start going off.
Yeah.
That's really good. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I did like that.
And I wish it kept it up like that, but no. As soon as you see all the CGI cars whizzing by them, and when the car does the 10 flips in the air and lands
on the two cars and he's so in the middle. Cringy. It was so tense. I just, edge of my seat stuff. You are
full of shit.
I didn't mind it.
It looked awful.
Yeah, okay. I got over the poor graphics pretty quickly, I must say.
But how can you enjoy that?
Because I had some fun with it. I really did.
Nah, I think they could have done something much better here that made it look a little bit more convincing. What about this driving the car into the helicopter?
I mean, no way. No way in hell a car hits. It wasn't even a ramp. It just looks like a...
It was a divider between the lanes.
A divider. What made that car launch like that?
He this is what I'm talking about with the superhero thing. He leaps out of the car onto his shoulder. The car's going like, you know, 100 kilometers an hour faster. Leaps out onto his shoulder, gets up and dusts himself off. Who is he, buddy? David Dunn from Unbreakable?
No, good one.
And even the guy that leaps out of the helicopter and lands on the car, like from however fucking high up he is in the air, gets up, dusts himself off, let's move on.
Yeah.
Just, come on, you got to have a little bit of believability here for me.
Now we get a really corny action line, which I bet you hated, but if it was said by Schwarzenegger in the 80s or early 90s, you would have loved it.
This wouldn't have happened.
You killed a helicopter with a car. I was out of bullets.
God.
See, that's
because
good.
This is John McClane. This is Die Hard.
I have to. John McClane makes
jokes. This is not John Matrix.
This is John Matrix.
Commando.
Of course.
You sure?
Yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah. I was thinking Johnny Mnemonic for some reason.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, I don't mind this. It was fun. Like, yeah, go for it.
Nah, terrible. So we get this quick little bit where they end up at the police station and there's all the people around. And it's like, this is Matt Farrell's emotional moment. He looks at the wreck of what he's like, oh my God, as he's looking around at all these people. Who the fuck cares about this guy? I don't care how he's so sad that what he's done has caused this.
Yep.
Even later he talks about, when I used to think of a fire sale, I thought, how cool would it be to have this happen? Now that I look at it and all the Armageddon and pandemonium, I'm like,
does he actually say pandemonium?
I think he says one of them at least. It's just give it a rest.
Fair enough. We get this little scene of the NSA guys walking in, taking over. Very Die Hard-esque.
Again.
Bit of a trope.
Yes, bit of a try-hard trope. A Die Hard, try-hard trope. Oh, zing.
Not zing.
No zing?
Terrible.
They do this fake blow-up of one of the monuments in America. I don't know what it is.
The Washington building?
Is it?
No, it's the White House.
No, it's not. It's not the White House.
Isn't it?
No, it's not the White House.
Capital City.
Yeah, the Capital City Monument, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But yeah, big fake.
I mean, it looked fake when I was watching it on the TV. I was like, gee, that looks fake.
Now, was that intended to look fake in the movie?
Yes, it was intended to look fake because it was fake. And that's my story and I'll stick to it.
You're picking at straws.
There was like almost no explosion either. It's just like... The building just gave way.
Yeah, just like it fell in.
The pillars out front just bent inwards or outwards. And McClane's trying to plead with Farrell here to help him. And again, I'm thinking Justin Long's just not right here.
No.
It just seems like everything is too okay. And I get that he's saying that it's not. Like, he's not saying, it's okay. He's not acting like there's any peril going on.
No. He's more just looking around at how sad he is that what he's done has happened.
Yeah, I just don't buy him as an actor. All right, now we're into this car hacking scene, of course.
Yes, we got to show the differences between McClane, the old school, and Matt Farrell, the new school hacker.
Because, of course, they need to jack a car that has... I mean, what percentage of cars would have this technology?
Exactly.
0.1?
Exactly.
Like, I had to remind myself, even now, I would have the same reaction. This was 11 years ago.
Who has cars that have people going, emergency services?
Let's talk to them.
Yeah, exactly.
11 years ago.
I could not get involved in this part here. Even more so, you have socially awkward computer hacker Matt being able to plea with this woman, get his social grace up. Goes, no, please, man, please, please. He's got this down pat. This guy's like a, you know, Red Bull drinking night computer hacker with no social skills whatsoever. And he comes in and charms this lady to convince him to turn the car on.
Yeah, see, I didn't have a problem with that because I don't think we've seen that he's got no social skills. I the thing I had a problem with is he was so incredibly unbelievable. Like, he wasn't good at what he was doing. It's like, so what's your name, sir? My name is Frank. My dad's name
that's when you hang
is,
up.
And then he can't pronounce it. Like, there's no way she's not. Nah, you can wait for emergency services.
I tell you, we're a bit into this film now. You seem to have shitted on a lot of this film so far. You've said a lot of negative stuff about this film. What do you give this?
I give it 3.5.
You think this is better than Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yes, I do.
Whoa! Seriously?
Seriously. And it's I wouldn't have said that a week ago or 2 weeks ago, having not watched them both again. But on a rewatch, Die Hard 3's second half dips enormously, and I was really bored in towards the end of that film.
Die Hard 4 this never one, gets up to the caliber of the first half, though. Die Hard 3 drops off,
it's
yes.
much more consistent, this film. I was not bored still, in this film at all.
This is like a consistent 4 out of 10, or the whole way through. Die Hard 3 is like an 8 to 9 out of 10 for the first half and drops to like a 5 at the end.
Nah, I disagree.
Nah, you're full of shit. There's no way this is better than the third one. I can maybe get on board with the second one. Maybe.
This is so easily better than the second one, it's not funny.
You can convince me of that. Okay, you can, but there's no way in hell this is better than the third one.
This movie is enjoyable to watch.
It's not.
The third one is a struggle to get through at the end.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, way. It is.
You're so off base with this one.
Okay. That's how you feel.
I know, and that's what we're doing. We're talking about our opinions and arguing as we usually do.
But this is a much better film than you give it credit for.
No.
And you say, oh, you're saying all this, you're shitting over it. It's not a perfect film. It's not a great film.
But the way you're it's not a good film. You've said a lot of negative stuff about this film, which would indicate that you do not like this film.
There are plot holes in there, and some things don't add up.
It's not just about plot holes. It's not about plot holes. It's about the tone, the way it's presented to us.
I like the tone. I like the way it's presented.
The changing characters. The changing our classic characters.
This is a very... No, people change, Hendo, okay? There's only one character in this from any other Die Hard, and people change. I can
One of the best things about Die Hard is the relatability to our hero, John McClane.
I can relate with someone who hates the world, who's had enough of its shit, and just wants to get on with the day.
Doesn't want to talk to these stupid
dopey
hackers.
I think I'm going
to
really like the last one. If he gets even grumpier...
I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait for you to give out a drip of goodness about that film. That's going to be so good. I might just sit here and listen. It might just be a podcast of Dean.
So we get Maggie Q. She lands at the utility plant. Is this a Woodbridge place?
No. I think that's a different place.
Okay. Anyway, so she's at the utility place. They basically land and kill everyone anyway. And then they take off all their FBI gear. I'm just not sure what the point of getting all those costumes were.
They wanted to look cool when they did it.
So we get McClane and Farrell. They work out they need to go to this utility plant. Now, did you understand how they knew this one in particular? Because the way they were talking, there were three plants.
No, I can't remember.
Anyway, they go to this one.
To be honest, I wasn't invested in this film to get those little nuances. Or even some of the discussions they were talking about utility power plants. I'm like, okay. Just get to the part where you catch up with Maggie Q.
Okay. They get to this utility plant. They see on the cameras that these guys are coming in. Or do they just have a sensor? Either way, they know that someone's there. So that she sends out two guards who split up and go, wouldn't it be much easier if the guards just stood there with guns at the ready?
If they knew where they were, why wouldn't they send both of them to the place where they were?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
So now we get the fight between McClane and Maggie Q.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. I mean, some of the lines he says here are interesting.
Like what?
Sick of this kung fu bullshit. It's like, I don't usually hit women, but you're going to make an exception. Just like pile drives her into the ground.
Yeah.
Kicks the shit out of her. But
again, we get this action trope where
She's on the ground. Ignore her.
Yeah, let's leave her. She's half conscious.
Why does McClane need to be watching what Matt's doing? Why couldn't he just be paying attention to her? As soon as she moves, bang, just kick her again.
Yeah. But then he comes back.
Oh, yeah, he gets kicked out the window.
Kicks out the window.
Falls like three stories out, lands on every pipe along the way, lands on the ground. Nah, just get up, dust myself off.
Well, if he hadn't have hit the pipes along the way, he would have really been hurt at the bottom. Thankfully, those pipes slowed his fall and he was fine.
Right, okay, of course.
Anyway, so we get him driving the car through the building.
Classic McClane.
Drives it. Now, this is the most unbelievable thing. Where he rams her, right? He hits her so hard with his car. She's still moving like it's fine. She's hanging onto the bonnet. Then he rams her through walls into a concrete wall. Should have broken her in half.
Yep.
She's fine.
Yeah, she's all good.
She's not remotely injured here.
I would have been surprised if she got up and dusted herself off from that explosion at the bottom of the elevator shaft.
Comes out looking like the T-1000.
Actually, that elevator shaft sequence wasn't actually in the film script before they started doing it. Len Wiseman just added it in because he associates elevator shafts with Die Hard.
Makes sense.
I did also read that when Maggie Hughes' stunt double was swinging on the wires, when she flies into the truck to hit McClane, the stunt double accidentally cut Bruce Willis's eyebrow.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, with her spiked heel. And according to Len Wiseman, she jabbed Willis hard enough that when the medics examined the injury, his brow bone was exposed.
I mean, it's not like there's muscle between the brow bone and the skin. It's just skin, so...
Are you a doctor?
No.
So how do you know?
I have a brow bone. That's how I know.
Yes, we all have brow bones.
I'm touching it now.
Yes, it might be deeper than you think.
Ladies and gentlemen.
My brow bone is hard.
My brow bone is deeper than your brow bone.
All right. So yeah, he kills Maggie Q and he starts talking to Gabriel again. I completely forgot that they had a romantic relationship because you get one kiss before.
Who?
Maggie Q and Timothy Oliphant.
Really? You didn't feel that chemistry the entire film?
I didn't even remember that they shared a passionate kiss before she left. Now, if I'd remember that, I would have been like, oh, she's dead. This is like their goodbye kiss. I completely forgot that they even shared that. I must have missed it.
Okay. No, I remember the kiss. They should have... They should
maybe
have
set
done,
up a little bit more.
Yeah, they should have had more setup.
Yeah.
I actually really like that they kiss because I love when Bruce Willis is like mocking Gabriel with
that
it.
That was good. I must admit, yeah, he's antagonistic. Yeah,
it was good.
That was probably one of the highlights of the film.
But I did not expect to see young Kevin Smith here.
Kevin Smith.
Did you remember he was in this?
Yes, I did. Oh. It's funny to go back and look at the interactions between him and Bruce Willis after hearing the stories that came out of... Cop Out.
Oh, tell me, what happened?
Oh, just Kevin Smith came out because obviously Kevin Smith directed Cop Out with Bruce Willis starring in it, and he came out afterwards just saying how much of a prick Bruce Willis was and how he just was like a diva on set and he demanded we do this and this at this time, and to the point where Kevin Smith was just like, you know, fuck you, like, I'm sick of your shit. That came out after this. So
they obviously would have had a decent relationship here.
To a degree. Well, actually, Kevin Smith actually rewrote the lines for his character, and Bruce Willis thought that the rewrite was too funny and didn't follow the serious mood of the film. So he rewrote all those parts that Kevin Smith had wrote.
Did he rewrite it or just demand that it got rewritten? Can't imagine Bruce Willis.
My apologies. No, Smith then actually had to rewrite parts that Bruce Willis said he needed to rewrite.
I mean, honestly,
though, a bit of attention there before they even started the movie.
Yeah, you say that, but he's not going to direct a film and choose Bruce Willis to be his star if he didn't like Bruce Willis from working with him here. They must have got on well here.
But then to come back and do that movie and for Smith to actively come out and talk to people saying Bruce Willis is a dick.
Oh, he must have been horrible. Yeah. I don't doubt that. Like, you just don't hear about directors coming out trashing their stars, but they wouldn't have worked together if he'd been like that.
Kind of reminded me of the Gene Hackman, Wes Anderson, Royal Tenenbaums kind of thing. Bruce Willis is getting a bit, you know, long in the tooth and he's just like, ugh, like yeah. I'm not really... He's in his can't be fucked phase at that point.
Yeah, I did like the line.
Oh, is it? Oh, you're a fan of the fat?
A fan of the fat? Nah, I'm more of a Star Wars guy.
Come on.
That was funny. Clearly a Kevin Smith line.
Yeah. I did read as well, because Kevin Smith, obviously big nerdy, like Star Wars kind of guy.
Geek culture.
Yeah. They had, when his name came up at the start, they removed quickly the M, so he had Sith in there, just for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, little piece there, it was all right.
Mm.
Oh, before they go to the Warlock, they send all the gas back to the place for them to...
The Warlock?
They call him the Warlock.
Isn't it just Warlock?
Whatever. The Warlock, what's the big deal?
The?
Anyway, they send all the gas back to the plant to blow them up, and it's almost like a near Indiana Jones Kingdom of the Crystal Skull thing here, where they jump in the van, the door is wide open, let's get in here, the explosion blows the van basically through the wall, dust ourselves off, it's all good.
Yeah, I think they conveyed that pretty well.
That's your argument?
Is there a need for an argument? What's the issue?
That it's just ridiculous.
What,
again, explosion? What I've been saying, this superhero, I am invincible person.
He was in a van. Like, I know it's no fridge, but it's still pretty a lot of protection.
And with an open door on a van where the flames are coming at you, the flames don't happen to come into the van.
I thought there was a ute or truck in front of it that protected.
No.
They just got pushed up against the wall a bit.
No.
I mean, how much gas was there? There couldn't have been that much.
Look at you. You're really trying to defend yourself here, aren't you?
What? Me? I'm not defending me.
You're defending the movie that you like.
There's no need to defend it. It's good.
No. Oh, dear. So, anyway, back to Warlock, or the Warlock, whatever you want to call him.
Let's call him what he's called, Warlock.
Kevin Smith. How much better would it have been if it was actually just Kevin Smith?
I mean, it's not a stretch to think that you can see Kevin Smith living in a basement somewhere.
Yes.
Mom!
Meatloaf!
Meatloaf! We need Meatloaf!
Oh, that would have been great. But they're trying to hack into Gabriel's stuff, I guess.
Yeah, who cares? So we get our first Gabriel and McClane, you know, face-to-face virtually through Skype.
No, it just happened before when he killed Maggie Q.
We get our first face-to-face after he's killed Maggie Q.
We get his first face-to-face after his first face-to-face.
Yes. Some might call it a second face-to-face. Me, I would prefer to say the first one after the first one.
You're such a unique flower.
But as we've mentioned before, the McClane baiting Gabriel with all the dead Asian hooker talk. Oh, it was great.
That being said, she was, what do you say, like, she was a tasty bitch or something like that?
It's like, yeah.
But he gives him the checkmate here and brings up Lucy in the elevator. You know, shuts him up real quick, doesn't he?
Understandably.
Of course. But while they're doing that, what's her name? Matt and Warlock, they do find out where he's actually situated. So they head on over there.
I did like that they brought back Lucy. It would have been pretty irrelevant to have her opening the film almost if she didn't come back.
There needs to be the family stakes, of course. That being said, there wasn't any in the third one.
No, I liked her in this one. Some really funny stuff from Timothy Oliphant here, where Lucy hits one of the guards, like slaps him or does something, she punches him, doesn't she? And the guard like gets really angry and slaps her, and Gabriel's just like, are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fair enough, harden up.
He says that earlier to the same people when they don't kill Matt at the start, when they get away, and he's like, you sure you're going to be able to handle this? You're going to be able to handle this? But I've noticed at this point, when McClane's talking to him, he's like, you have no idea, like, I'm still here, I'm going to get you, I'm going to come down and fucking kill you. He is actually looking scared. He is starting to look fearful that this is happening. Like, he can't kill this guy. Even coming up when he's talking to him, he's like, you know, I'm actually the good guy here. Like, stop, please don't come get me. You know, well, why don't you speak to your daughter? And she's like, there's five left. He's like, oh, no. Like, what a pussy.
I felt it was more showing how intimidating McClane is rather than how much of a pussy Gabrielle is. Fairness, his name is Gabrielle, so kind of a girl's name. Sorry, Gabrielle Byrne.
Yeah, but we also have this subplot going on about how they're at this Woodlawn place because that's where all the backup of every file in America is, apparently, and he can either take it all for himself or he can completely wipe it and then technology ceases to exist almost.
In America, not the world.
Yeah.
Technology would hardly cease to exist.
One thing I didn't mind was when he pushes that henchman down the stairs on the chair or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he goes flying back. I thought that looked pretty cool. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's the one thing positive you can say about this movie.
It looked good.
I remember when that guy rolled down the stairs backwards. I like that bit.
Funny how he didn't die falling down.
Yeah, he didn't die. Yeah,
but Tony did in the first one.
Yeah. But does he make mention of, I'll get you a doctor as he's leaving?
I think that's tongue-in-cheek.
Is that a joke?
That's tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. I thought it was odd.
But he leaves him alive.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's not in McClane's nature.
Should have broke his fucking neck.
Yeah. Good callback.
Yeah. Oh, some corny stuff coming now. Lucy McClane.
Lucy Gennaro.
I thought your name was Gennaro.
Not today.
Not today.
Come on.
Ooh. That's rough.
Not as good as this is Harley. Harley Gennaro. Harley McClane. It's like, ooh, that hit you in the feels.
This is where we get our weird acrobat fighter.
Oh, yeah. Look, you talk about McClane and how he's got some good one-liners. This one here. Oh, this guy's a hamster. Well, not one of his best.
I didn't get that. Like, is that what hamsters do?
I didn't understand that.
I would not have picked hamsters to do that.
You're getting a bit rough in your old age, McClane. Give it a rest. Actually, the guy who played that guy, he did most of his stunts without special effects and wires. That was actually just him, classic gymnast, going through all that stuff. And again, like I mentioned before, him falling through that grinder, fan, whatever it was, it literally looked like he just slipped through it.
I thought he did.
You get a couple of... It cuts to McClane going, oh, and then it cuts back and there's a couple of drips of blood on it.
We're not watching bloody Fargo here, all right?
We're watching Die Hard. Do you remember Die Hard? Remember how good he used to be?
In number one, yes.
Yes.
I do remember number one.
Remember when they shot Takagi and they had brain and blood splatter all over the window?
Oh, that was good.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was good. We should do Die Hard 1 again.
Hey, do you want to do that? Can we do that instead of 5? But, of course, you've got to keep wanting up the ante of McClane and
yes,
his
you do,
action
and
here.
And there's no better way to do it than McClane in a semi-truck versus an F-35. It was great.
Did I miss something? I think I missed it. Where all the people in the cars, they've clearly evacuated all their cars, because as I was watching it, and the pilot shoots at the freeway, the big bridge above it, and all the, just blows up the whole thing. I was like, oh, all these poor people in the cars. Like, oh, no. I think everyone's evacuated. The traffic is all stopped.
I think they're gone. Anyway, we get this awesome action scene. How good was it when the jet, like, fires, like, the machine guns at him and it just, like, takes off the top half of the truck?
Reminded me of when the T-1000 was hiding in the truck and it rips the whole thing.
Yes,
and it just comes back up. So, spoiler alert, McClane is not a Terminator.
And even when the missile would, like, hit underneath the road that he's on and it just, like, lifts him up in the truck.
That was okay.
That's all good stuff.
It was okay.
I liked it. I really like this scene. You know, it's just, it's old school action. You don't see anything like this anymore.
You're so full of shit. This is just what I'm saying. He's up what? I don't know how bloody high he is off these this road that's turned into like traffic diverters. But how does he do it? The car's the big semi trailer is falling off. He gets out of the truck. He jumps onto the wing of the jet. The jet's ready to explode. They have to show several times that the pilot got out. Don't worry, he survived it. He gets ejected.
He's an American hero.
They show him landing. He's all good. He dusts himself off as well. McClane, what does he do? He finds the perfect opportunity to jump, slide down a piece of the road while the whole thing explodes.
Yeah, and he's in between like the two roads.
Holy shit.
And it's so tense.
What a joke.
How good was it?
No, it's fucking terrible.
So now we finally get the big... I guess the big ending here where
the big climactic reveal with Gabriel and McClane we've all been waiting for.
Yep.
This is almost as bad as the third one. Maybe even worse, to be honest.
Almost as bad as the third one. No, it's better than the third one.
That's up for debate. This whole thing with Matt, when he's threatening to kill him, but like to disarm the code that he's put on all this technological shit for the money, whatever
encryption.
He's doing. Encryption,
yep.
Yeah. And he keeps saying like, oh, you're just going to kill me if I do it. Now, fair enough, he's gonna shoot Lucy. When he gets to the point when he's got McClane, like, he's got him with the gun to his chest, and he's like, you're going to stand there and watch as I kill him and kill her and then kill you. Matt, how are you going with that code? He's like, yeah, just 10 more seconds. Like, he just said he's going to kill you. Why are you doing it still?
Pretty badass from McClane here.
No, it's not.
To shoot Gabriel through his chest.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother-f-boom!
I don't even think I heard a mother bang.
Oh, just so weak sauce. Like, why even bother?
One of the best things about this movie, though, we talk about the romantic elements between Gabriel and Maggie Q. They are nothing compared to the sexual tension that we see between Lucy and Farrell.
For, like, the 3 seconds they've known each other.
Oh, it's some of the worst shoehorned in romance you'll ever see.
I didn't even realize there was a romance.
Like I had no idea. I actually had to think. I was like, oh, hold on. Have we seen anything between them?
Was the only lines they spoke to each other was you, Gennaro?
Yeah.
No, it's McClane.
I think it was.
And then, like, do you think we got a shot? Did he say anything about what?
No, I loved it.
What happened to her boyfriend? She gave up quickly on him.
No. They established that in the opener that it's not
maybe
not
we'll
actually
see.
A boyfriend.
We'll see.
So they did play that out well.
They played that out well, did they?
They did. They played it out very well.
Yeah. This ending. Okay.
I mean, endings are not Die Hard's strong points.
No, they're not.
No.
Even that second one. So shit. The second ending. You know, that parking ticket? We'll just...
Oh, yeah.
That parking ticket.
That was terrible.
All right, I'm going to go first this time. Yeah, final thoughts. I don't have anything else more to say.
You went first.
Our final thoughts, we discussed at the start, like we mentioned. Like,
no, we did. We did. You all know how we feel about it. I think it's pretty good. It's fun. I enjoyed it. Hendo hates it because everyone hates it.
Did you just go back then? You said it was pretty good, yet earlier you said it's not that good. Like, you give it 3 stars. You've given a lot of negativity around here. But you
Three and a half. I give it 3.5.
Really?
I give the third one a 3.
I think...
The second one a 2.
Based off your breakdown here, I would not picture you saying it's very good.
Okay. There's no need to picture it. I'm telling you. It's good.
Oh, it's good now. So you're going from very good to good in
it's
the span
3.5.
In the span of 10 seconds.
You can put whatever...
Shall I give you another 10? You'll say it's
adjectives
it's okay.
You want in front of it. It's a 3.5 star
it,
movie.
Is it okay?
It's
okay.
Good. It's very good.
Oh, there you go.
It's fantastic.
All right. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say
about
it.
I really hope that I like the last one.
I hope you do too, because I would love to get some rebuttal as to why it's not believe, terrible.
Like, I looked on IMDb, 7.1. It's not that bad. I thought this was regarded very, very poorly. 7.1 isn't that bad. I don't think I'm alone in my opinion on this film. I know it's not cool to,
oh my God, I thought you were talking about the fifth one then. I'm like, the fifth one has a 7.1?
Nah, the fifth one is like 5.
The fifth one is
legitimately low.
Oh, I tell you, if you can find some gold in that, if you give it anything less than anything more than a 2,
yeah.
I will like spit chips.
Spit chips. I could use some chips. All right, that'll about do it for today's Patreon exclusive. As always, thank you so much, guys and gals. We really do appreciate it.
We'll see you next week for A Good Day to Die Hard.
What a good day it shall be. Thanks, everyone. Bye.